One, two, three. First I peel off my gloves, then my dress, then my shoes. Da 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 da. Then my stockings, one by one. Then this, and this, and these.
Oh, do hurry up, Mrs. Bulstrode. I have other patients waiting to be examined.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Round the Horn.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Now, first a news flash. Earlier today, thieves broke into Scotland Yard and stole all the telephones. Now, if anyone has any information regarding this theft, well, they'll just have to keep it to themselves, don't they? Now, a correction. Last week, I inadvertently congratulated one of our listeners on the girth of a bonny daughter. It should, of course, have been the birth of a bony daughter. And now, with half the usual wet strength, it's non-drip, one coat, polyurethane, Douglas Smith. Forward, Polly. Oh, sorry.
Sir, it's time for the Round the Horn Forum of the Air, in which listeners ring in to air their views on current topics.
And here's the first caller. Hello. Oh, hello, Mr. Gruntfutter.
Hang on a minute. It's all coiled up and and knotted.
What is?
This telephone lead. Ah, oh, that's better. I'm ringing to complain to you about the lack of facilities in this country for people who indulge in my particular hobby. Yeah.
Well, I hesitate to ask, but what hobby is that?
P.T.
Oh, I see. You mean you go into physical training?
No, I mean I'm a peeping Tom. You people point the nostril of scorn at us peeping Toms, Mr. Horne, but it's not right. You should try to see things our way.
Well, I'd rather not, thank you.
Out in all weathers, peeping for Britain. And we don't get no cooperation from the public. It wouldn't be too much to leave a chair out in the front garden. Perhaps a flask of brandy or a blanket, would it? Some people haven't even got a decent driveway, and they have lights outside. They should be fined.
For lighting without drives, you mean? Oh, I did enjoy that. And you set it up beautifully for me, too. Now, what exactly did you want me to do, Mr. Gruntfutter?
Well, for a start, you could have a word with that woman on your show, that Betty Martian. She's just had very thick net curtains put up in her house.
And you take a dim view of it?
Exactly. Here, you won't mention that I called.
Don't worry, she won't get a peep out of me. Hello?
Fred, is that you? Why didn't you turn up at the church yesterday, Fred?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, it's no use disguising your voice, Fred. You've promised to marry me. We can't wait much longer, Fred. Dad's beginning to notice. But you haven't been round lately.
I think you must have made a mistake.
It was you who made the mistake, Fred.
Look, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Goodbye, Mavis. What a ghastly woman. Oh, dear. I'm glad I didn't turn up now. Hello, Horn here.
My mate and I are having an argument. He says yes, and I say no.
Well, you've got quite a problem there. Goodbye. Well, that's all the phone calls we've got time for. It has been pleasant, and speaking of has-beens, brings me reluctantly to Dame Celia Molestrangler and aging juvenile Binky Huckaback.
I can't bear it, Fiona. These last few fleeting moments before I go to the front. parting is so bittersweet.
I know. I feel for you, Charles.
I know. I feel you feeling for me.
Yes, yes, and I feel that you feel me feeling for you. Oh, Charles, Charles, we've so much to remember.
Yes.
Chestnuts roasting by an open fire. A cigarette that bears a lipstick's traces. Old MacDonald had a farm.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, I remember. I recollect, recall, reminisce, recapture, retrace, and yet I forget. It's gone, Fiona.
Not gone.
Yes, lost and gone. Now I must be off.
Oh, Charles, must you? You look so handsome in that uniform.
Yes, I thought that too. Goodbye, Fiona. I'm needed at the front.
Goodbye, Charles. Drive carefully. See you at the depot canteen. Claire's, please, pass down the box. Claire's, please.
And now to the strains of waltzing Matilda on a muted didgeridoo. Our visitor from the Antipodes, Miss Judy Coolibar.
Too right, sport, yeah. I brought me guard dog. You lay a finger on me and he'll have your throat out.
I'll watch it.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, no, nothing. It's all right. Now, well, this week I was wondering if you'd tell us something about where you come from.
Yeah, don't you play the innocent with me. I'm not discussing that sort of thing with a member of the opposite gender.
No, I meant Australia.
Oh. Well, you see, my family have been there ever since great-great-grandfather landed at Botany Bay in a convict ship.
A convict ship? What had he done?
Left his glasses at home. The old fool thought he was the Woolwich Ferry. Then, you see, there was his son, Ned Coolibar, the outlaw. Used to roam around the outback, wearing an iron bucket like a helmet.
Oh, yes. The original pale face. Oh, dear. Lighting without drives. I love it.
Well, after him, the family settled down in Chundaboola Springs.
They were squatters, were they?
What are you getting
at? Nothing at all, no. I was just thinking it must be cut off.
Ah!
I'll rephrase that. It must be isolated in Chundaboola Springs.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Even the flying doctor doesn't actually land there.
No?
No, he just flies over, dangling a long stethoscope.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Judy Coolibar. And if you're looking for the outback, well, you know where it is. And now we have a historical moment as members of the studio audience here burst forth in spontaneous song and a golden flood of melody will envelop the hall. I think. Leading the revels, Miss Betty Marsden and Mr. Hugh Paddick.
Now, all of you here have heard tongue-twisting songs and got in a terrible knot. Yet somehow or other, an audience longs to join in this tongue-twisting rot. So Hugh's got a chorus he's going to sing. You're clever to get it first time. It's all about shoe shops and shutting at six. I think we can all say that fine. So listen to the chorus and notice the beats. But first of all, empty your mouthful of sweets. You...
Should shoe selling shops shut sharply at six? Should shoe shops shut sharply at six? They should or they shouldn't, or simply, say some, should surely shut every midday at one. Some shoe shops shut sharply, some shoe shops shut slow. But before we all get in a fix, to stop all these shoe shops from selling more shoes, we'll sharply shut shoe shops at six. Now you all know the words. All together now. Choo-choo, selling shops, a choppy at six. Choo-choo, shop, a choppy at six. They should or they shouldn't, or simply some say, should choppy, some should, or have them in day. Some shoe shops are choppy, some shoe shops are slow. Before we both get in a fix, to stop all these shoe shops from selling more shoes, we'll stop these shoe shops from the six.
And now, movie go wrong. Smith, make the announcement, will you?
This week's film adaptation, we bring you a daring wartime escape story. Pornographic Productions, in association with McWhirter's Quick Frozen Pottage Fingers, proudly present Escape from Stalag Limpris.
Pardon?
Well, it's just a little camp, sir.
Oh. The place, a German prisoner of war camp in the dark days of 1942. My name is Coxflute. Colonel Coxflute of the ATS. Well, some sort of mix-up in records, I suppose, but I never bothered to complain. As our story opens, the new German commandant is addressing the POWs.
I'm Heinrich Kartoffelsalat, your new commandant. Expect cooperation from you prisoners, and you can start by returning the old commandant. Dismiss!
The men began to break up grumbling. That's a sort of coarse black bread, actually. While I returned to my hut for a meeting with my brother officers. Well, gentlemen, the situation is this. There are 3,000 men in this camp, cruelly severed from their wives and sweethearts. Now, what are we going to do?
I have a rather bold suggestion.
Yes?
Let's escape. We can leap over the barbed wire.
Well, no use, no use. One chap tried it and failed. Poor old Squeaky. He was always trying to get away.
Yes, he made it in the end there. Wriggled out through the sewer pipe. Got back to England covered in glory.
Since then, all our attempts to escape have failed. I suspect that one of the officers in this hut is portraying our plans to the Germans. I looked round. Was it Lieutenant Jones? Captain Jenkins? Obergruppenfuhrer Fritz von Schwarzkopf? Who could tell? Suddenly, the door was kicked open.
Rausch Schweinhund, get up!
Young Rausch Schweinhund got up and was let out. We weren't quite sure why he was there in the first place. And they brought in a new prisoner.
Hello. I'm Group Captain Toothlessly. Reggie Toothlessly.
Yeah. Don't tell me you're one of the few.
Yes, I am. Yes. Actually, I'll tell you, Jerry got me with a burst of flak in the rear.
Oh. How painful for you.
I was flying a mosquito at the time. We're a bit short of planes these days.
I could tell this man had something. Courage, guts. Call it what you will. Yeah. By Jove, Reggie, you've got a lot of call it what you will. Isn't that the ribbon of the DFC? It's not often you see a man wearing that.
No?
Well, not in his hair.
You're just in time, Reggie. We're planning an escape. It won't be easy. We're locked in this hut all night. The Jerry passes round every 2 hours, and they've got... We've got great big guard dogs with them.
Well, why don't we dig a tunnel?
Good thinking. But how will we remove the dirt?
We'll leave that to the producer. He's good at that.
And so we began the tunnel. We prized up a floorboard and started to dig it.
Man, dig that crazy floorboard.
It was going to be a long job. The routine of the camp went on. Letters from home arrived to break the monotony.
Lads, lads, yes? I've got a letter from the missus.
Dear Stan, I have just given birth to twin boys. I'm calling them Angus and Jock. The lodger, Mr. MacTavish, sends his regards. Yours faithfully. Thankfully, Moira.
But Stan, Stan, you've been here for over 3 years.
And I write very passionate letters.
I say, chaps, there's a letter for me, too.
Dear Roger, I want you to know you are never far from my thoughts. I cry into my pillow at night and murmur your name. Come home soon. Things are not the same without you.
Well, isn't that nice? Who's it from?
My old drill sergeant at Aldershot. Sentimental old fool.
Meanwhile, the tunnel was progressing. That day, it was Reggie's turn to dig. He'd drawn the short straw. How are you getting on?
Not very well. I've bent my short straw. Can't we get a shovel?
I'm afraid not. No, no.
Oh, go on, sir. I haven't got a part this week. I could play the shovel.
Well, I don't think, Sir Smith, it really needs somebody younger.
Yes.
Tell you what, though, you can play the tunnel. And later in the plot, Mr. Williams and I will go through you. All right?
It's absolutely necessary, sir. Very well, I'll play the tunnel.
Good.
Already I'm 50 yards long and growing every day. I'm cold and dank and moisture runs down my sides.
Oh, shut up. Now then, men, the escape is tonight. While Reggie and I crawl through that Douglas Smith, you chaps get busy at painting road-up signs and create a diversion. Oh, come on, Reggie. Only another few yards.
Oh, it's so cramped. It's so cramped in this tunnel. I can barely move. I said it was a mistake to bring the Max Harris group down here with us.
Shh, shh, shh. We're through. Shh. We're just outside the wire. Keep your head down. The German guards are everywhere. Did you work out our route on that map?
Yes, we catch the Bakerloo train from West Hampstead to Charing Cross, then change the district.
Yes, line. Now look, actually it's more the first part of our journey I'm worried about. From here to London, it's not going to be easy, but we can sleep in barns.
And have a nap in Hammersmith.
Yeah, I see, yeah. But let's get out of Germany first. We headed for the French border. Our first problem was the Rhine, but fortunately we had our Rheinkurz with us. We hitched a lift, hiding under a load of dried grass. Suddenly, the wagon was stopped by a man in the field grey uniform and Africa Corps hat we had learned to dread.
We're done for. It's a British Railways porter.
No, it's a German. I think he's going to poke about here with his bayonet.
Really?
We mustn't make a sound. Now, grit your teeth.
Can't.
Well, give them to me. I'll grit them for you. He won't see us in the dried grass. Wait. I think your elbow is sticking out.
He hasn't spotted it, though. He can't tell dried grass from my elbow.
You must be joking. Get out, Iglesias. I have my gun pointing at your stomachs. You will raise them above your head.
We climbed out. He marched us to a local billiard hall and placed us under arrest.
Have you any last request before I shoot you?
Yes, please. Miss me.
We looked around the billiard hall. We could never break down the door with our bare hands. Fortunately, there was a queue against the wall, and they all helped us. Once more, we were free. Dawn found us in a haystack near the French border.
Hello.
Hello.
I am Dawn.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. Dawn Higgins of the French Resistance. We will help you get to the coast. You will pretend to be a French peasant couple. Here, you may borrow my plastic Mac as a disguise.
Won't the Germans see through it?
Possibly. But in order to allay suspicion, you will have a baby.
I'll do my best, baby.
No, please. I will supply the baby.
Oh, that's very... Very good of you, but we are in a bit of a hurry.
Yeah. It will not be a real one.
Oh, Dolly.
Yes.
You will hide in my cellar while I make the arrangements.
Excellent. And from there, perhaps I can send a message to London. Dear Vera Lynn, please sing the nuns' chorus for Dawn and all in the resistance hidden in the secret cellar at 27 Rue Fromage. There.
But what about the Gestapo? They listen in.
Oh, let them send their own requests. Just a minute, somebody's coming.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Jacques. Are you okay?
I am all right, Jacques. Jacques likes the English, except for the footballers. West Bromwich let him down on the pools.
Oh, perfidious Albion. The plan has been changed. Slip on the German uniform.
What a good idea. With those on, they will look just like a couple of panzers.
Saucy cats.
Yes! It is a ruse devised by my sister Charlotte.
We agreed to the Charlotte ruse. And followed up with cheese and biscuits. It was to be our last meal in France. That very evening we were dining on British soil. It tasted revolting. But we were glad to be back.
Well, sir, here we are, back in dear old Blighty. It's a pity about the misunderstanding over these German uniforms.
Yes, Reggie, this English prisoner of war camp is worse than Stalag Limperist. Oh, well, only one thing for it.
Start digging a tunnel.
And so much for this week's film. Next week, we'll be showing you the sequel to Gone with the Wind, which we rather daringly called Back with the Bismuth. And now, the voice that runs through Tara's halls, or at least the scullery, Rambling Sid Rumpel.
Oh, hello, my dearies. Thank you very much indeed. While sing Dilly Down, my Daffy, and Semolina on my cuff.
Yes. And how ethnic can you get without being arrested for it? Now, yes, what have you got in your gander bag for us this week?
Art is a paean of praise to the ladies, dolly chicks and old boilers alike. And it goes in this manner, thank you. Grandly, but with a lot of nudging. Here's to the maiden who woggles her nodes. Here's to the widow's cord wangle. Here's to the lass with extravagant scroats, set at a curious angle. Let the grunge flow, let yourself go, and quaff up your posset at ninepence a throw. Here's to the charmer whose grummets we prize. Here's to the maid who has none, sir. Here's to the girl of extraordinary size who bogles her moolies for fun. Let the grunge flow, let yourself go, and quaff up your posset at ninepence a throw. Here's to the maiden who wordles to please, and the maid with magnificent loomers. Here's to the girl with provocative knees, who's subject to all kinds of rumours. Let the grunge flow, let yourself go, and quaff up your posset at ninepence a throw.
The other day I was glancing through a pamphlet which was issued by the Amateur Athletic Association. Its title was, The 2-Minute Mile, Can Centipods Make It Possible? When my eye was caught by an advertisement, it read, Visit one of the stately lattes of England, Bona Abbey. So I thought, well, why not? And the next day I popped down. Now, Bona Abbey turned out to be a prefab on the Hackney Marshes. But I thought, well, I've never seen the aristocracy at home, so I went up to the massive portico and shouted through the letterbox. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, and this is my friend Sam.
Oh, hello!
Trolley to Barbieri.
Thank
you. Don't be strange, trolling. Yes, take his half crown, Jewel. Oh, I'll put my guide's hat on. Right, now, if you're ready, we can set off on our guided tour of Jules' family seat.
Jules? I had no idea you were high-born.
No higher than anyone else. Don't denigrate yourself, Jules.
No.
Don't denigrate yourself.
Don't like
He's it. Of the blood royal. A queen's blood flows in his veins. he's been on the royal jelly. Father, that aristocratic eek. Father, the eek. Look at the nose, Vase of the nose, with its hint of bourbon and the milk stout in the air. Oh, what a riot.
I was having a beer rinse.
Beer rinse.
Well, that explains the dressing gown.
Dressing gown?
Yeah.
That's his official robe.
Robe.
Official robe. See the back emblazoned with the word royal?
Oh, yes. Royal Borough of Tufnell Park Slipper Bar.
Slipper Bar, yes. He used to be a masseur there. Masseur, yes. He was. Mm. He's got magic fingers, he has. What, yes. Lappers? Lovely.
Oh, magic lappers. I've got. It's a gift with me,
yes.
You know.
Lovely.
I could do things with your lower dorsals that would give you new life.
Yes.
I would have still been up the slipper bars, but I had this misunderstanding in the steam room with a jockey. Yes. No, honestly.
No, don't go on, don't go on. Don't go on. Well, I don't know who his friends are. He's like that, Mr. Lorne. He'd tell anybody anything.
Anything.
His trouble.
I'm like
he's
that.
Too open. Oh, yes. He lays himself open.
Do tell
then, of course, he gets hurt. He gets hurt. Then, of course, he comes running to me.
To
and
always.
I tell him, if you hadn't laid yourself open, you wouldn't get wounded by life's vagaries.
No.
He lays himself open, you see.
Sand is very understanding. Yes.
Yes.
He knows my weak points, yes. But he's still... No, he nevertheless, he's still, don't you, yes. Stand shoulder to shoulder with
if
me.
If you can't put out a hand to a friend, what are you on this mortal coil for?
As the bard has it.
Frequently. As it. Digress.
Oh, indeed.
We digress. Mr. Dorn, you come to look round Jewel's ancestral latte. Now, through there.
Yeah.
Through there is the robing room where we robe. There's the smoking room where we smoke. And up there is the minstrel's gallery.
Where we mint.
And cast your radiant orbs over to the left. You will observe the portraits of Jewel's ancestors, or the family Jewels, as they're known.
Yes, sir. This one here with the great spade beard, that's Granny.
No, the fake ogle.
Fake ogle. Hardly notice it. And this one here, this great butch omi in doublet and hose, with his hand resting lightly on his cutlass.
Note the cutlass. Mm.
And note the hand resting lightly.
Yeah.
He, of course, was a pirate. He was known as Henry the Bold.
Yes, and this one next to him with the pomaded wig and the lace jabot.
Oh, that's Cyril, the absolutely outrageous. Yeah.
Just after that Elizabethan drag, Mr. Orne. The ruff, the doublet, the magnificent codpiece. Oh, the sixpenny of the chips. Jewel's family sprung from his loins.
We did, we sprung from.
Like a scalded cat, yes. Sprung from.
And it's from him that we get our titular rights.
Titular rights, they've got, yeah. And now through here the royal bed chamber. Over there the royal bed.
Royal bed?
Yes, legend has it that many queens have slept in that bed.
Yes. Queen Elizabeth I slept there, and Mary Queen of Scots, Anne Boleyn, Anne of Cleves, Queen Victoria, they all slept there.
Not all at the same time.
Of course, not just silly days, only one warming pan.
Well, you know, this house seems a little modern for all this to have happened.
Oh,
well, it belies its age, oh, Mr.
Exactly.
Horn. There are a wealth of antiquities. Over there, an oldy-worldy latticey windowy. And over there, an oldy fireplacey with an ingle nooky.
Nice with a nooky.
Yes.
Yes. And over there, over the fireplace, the family escutcheon. Two ballet dancers supporting a heraldic lion improper. It looks nice, doesn't it?
And under the crest, there's our family motto.
Ars gratia artis. That's your actual Latin. Loses a little in the translation, but it means roughly as art's in the right place.
Yeah. Well, now you've seen it, what do you think? What do you
well,
think?
It's impressive, but can you make it pay?
Oh, yes, Mr. Horn. So far this season, we've had 6 tourists.
But it's half a crown a time, that doesn't amount to very much.
Ah, yes, it's half a crown to get in, but it's £7.10 to get out.
Oh. Well, it was quite an experience. Not so much a Luton who, more a Hackney what, I suppose. And there's a rumour they're going to demolish it and erect a rubbish dump on the site. Well, we mustn't stand in the way of progress. Cheerio. See you next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Betty Marsden. The music was supplied by the Max Harris Group, and the script was by Barry Took, Johnny Mortimer, and Brian Cook. Production was by John Simmons.